Hey guys, I don't know if you're like me, but I love Count the Dings and everything it has to offer. I just can't find everything I need. You know, I know about Cinephobe, and I know about the mailbag, and I know about Bomb, but that's all we do, right, Amin?
No, we do so much more.
What?
Yeah, absolutely. If you sign up, patreon.com/countthedings, you'll find a plethora of other content, fresh content, extended content, the OG pod overflow, the Cinephobe cold opens that we've taken and made their own thing to live only there, the Rewatchingtons, Bomb in its full and unadulterated cut, early drops of Cinephobe episodes, and so much more.
Said the OG pod. Now, is it new or is it old?
Mace, I'm glad you asked that. It is a new incarnation of the old OG pod.
Oh.
So it's me, Zach, Trey, Waz, Tom.
I love those guys.
Just like we always were, going back to the True Hoop days, we're recreating that magic, recapturing and putting it back out. We're talking hoops, we're talking pop culture, and most importantly, we're talking for 40 minutes for free, but then another specific Patreon exclusive segment for every one of those episodes.
Funny enough about that OG pod, you're getting Tom and Trey on Mondays, you're getting me and Waz, aka Zosny, on Wednesdays. Amin's floating in between.
I'm a floater.
You never know when you're going to get Amin in those, so you got to listen to them all.
And what if I'm not sure what Maze looks like, because I've always thought he's a fat man with a fedora, he's got a weird voice. How can I see for myself what this Maze character actually looks like?
It's crazy you don't know the answer to this because it's the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page.
What?
The CT5s on the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page. You can look at all of us.
You can get all the OG pods on YouTube too, at Count the Dings 1 on YouTube, at Cinephobe Pod on YouTube. Patreon.com/countthedings gets you everything all in one feed. You can link it to your Spotify. And now enjoy the show.
Hey, listener, Underdog Fantasy is the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, the fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. You can play Pick'em, pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower total in each stat for this week's games for a chance to win big. You can actually win up to 100 times your money in a single night. That's right. I didn't say 10. I didn't say 20. Up to 100 times your money. Pick between 2 and 5 players. Build a Pick'em entry. My favorite feature, you can make rivals picks. Hit 2 players against each other. Wembanyama versus Nikola Jokic. Tim Hardaway Jr. versus Norm Powell. Kawhi Leonard versus Steph Curry. Who knows? Maybe Grayson Allen versus Pat Connaughton. You get where I'm going with that. You can do it all with Underdog Fantasy. Make sure you sign up today with the promo code DING. That's D-I-N-G. And get your first deposit doubled up to $100, as well as an instant Pick'em special. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the app store. And don't forget to register with our promo code DING, D-I-N-G, to get your first deposit doubled up to $100, as well as an instant Pick'em special. Must be 18 or older and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-522-4700 or visit www.ncpgambling.org.
Welcome to another thrilling edition of Black Opinions Matter, motherfucker. It's the number one independent podcast network in the world, Chico. My name is Amino Hassan. I'm joined, as always, by Black Trey, Big Jerv, and Big Waz. Rob Lopez is on the 1 and 2s. We got a great show for you guys today. It's the 30th anniversary of DJ Quick's first album coming out. We're going to talk about that. We might go into a little bit of early 2000s fashion faux pas, courtesy of one Fabuloso, in case you ain't know so. We talk about the second part of the Tiger Woods documentary. Do you like the song Ooh Baby I Like It Raw? We'll talk about that. And then we'll wrap up with A Night in Miami. That's the Regina King movie about the night Muhammad Ali defeated Sonny Liston. It's on Amazon Prime. You should check it out if you haven't yet, because we're going to talk about it today. All right, let's start the show.
Hey, it's Tiger. I need you to do me a huge favor. Can you please take your name off your phone? My wife went through my phone and maybe calling you. If you can, please take your name off that. And just have it as a number on the voicemail. Just have it as your telephone number. Okay.
I never understood how y'all tucked your motherfucking y'all shirts into y'all khakis. I never knocked it. It just was what it was. Like I never got that.
It was just some fly shit though. Like same way niggas air the steam your drawers, nigga, steam your fucking boxers. Damn. Also,
say what?
Razor, steam your boxers.
Yeah, say what?
That's different steam from like just washing.
Steam your fucking boxers, bro.
Washing and dry.
You have it and steam it so like it all be with your crease. You know
your boxers?
Can't be right. Your boxers. You know, you lay it flat and you put it like, and you steam it. And then from there, when you put it on, it's just as crisp as your pants because you got razor sharp crease cuffs nigga on the dickies. It's some gangster shit.
Yo, this shit niggas.
Like, that's what I'm saying. The shit for niggas playing in the dope boy shit on the Paid in Full when a nigga, you know, a money making Mitch was, you know, like that's the thing. Like wearing your G Nikes, nigga, and spraying them and cleaning them up and then having your shit creased and sitting on top of your, because we ain't wearing them like crazy baggy to the point of that. It's like niggas sitting on your G Nikes or your Converse. Like it was certain shoes you wore and just to represent. You know what I'm saying? Because the SA is really. The Mexican homies really made the Cortez what it is, the high socks with the Cortez. And then we kind of just flipped it. They even wore the Compton hat after Easy died and kept it going. And then YG kind of brought it back on some shit like that. Cause we really just kind of flipped to like, oh, every hat. Like where I'm from, we wear the Phillies hat. So, but we wear the maroon, like the burgundy. You know what I'm saying? And in LA, Bloods wear red. And then in Compton, we wear burgundy because it's Piru, it's pimps and red uniforms. You know what I'm saying? But it's way more than what it is. So when Quick was the first nigga openly gangbanging on wax, like openly, like nigga, I'm a blood. You know what I'm saying? Like making that, because NWA was just kind of like, look, we're straight out of Compton. We're getting arrested. This is the shit. We're telling the street side. And DJ Quick is like, telling the story side of what you're seeing. So it's like watching Boys in the Hood in Men's Society. You've seen Boys in the Hood, you like, damn, okay, that nigga Ricky could have made it out of the hood. You see Men's Society, a whole nother type of, you know, B&E, niggas getting stumped out in the projects. Like that's how, it's just a whole nother grind. So when you listen to Quick as the name, it might not hit to the certain audience, but if you from there, it's like, yes, nigga, please tell my story. You know what I'm saying? Because he's seeing it like, oh, I know how to play the piano. Oh, I know how to play the drums. I know how to do all that shit. But that shit corny to niggas in the hood. And also to a point of you looking around and everybody making money but you. You know what I'm saying? Because he really was a DJ. That's how he, you know, that was the thing. Dr. Dre was the first person to really kind of get it going. And then everybody's like, oh, I'm a, you know, it's just like, oh, Waz podcast. Oh, I'm about to start a podcast too. You know what I'm saying? And think it's kind of easy, but Quick was actually, he had an ear and he was house party DJing, but he looking around like this DJing stuff ain't really paying. I got to learn how to sell crack so I can buy my equipment and start making records, you know, like because Too Short and them really kind of taught niggas how to independently hustle music wise. And once he found out like, oh, let me hustle, get enough money, buy my equipment, then start making my own stuff, sell it out the trunk, and now I'm on. And the thing about Quick is that he was able to rap along with the production. So when he making shit and scratching and doing all this, you know what I mean? He was really one of them niggas that's turning and doing all, you know what I'm saying? He really was one of them niggas. But like, I would see him as a kid come through my neighborhood, fly ass BMW, Beamer, you all the shit. He the first nigga to bring the Puerto Rican chick to the Compton. 91 NSX, bro. He in the NSX, permed out, hair long, fingernails, you know, sparkly. Like they really was on that. Hey, I'm a pimp. Like I'm a PI. Like, well, player was used differently back then. You know what I'm saying? Like now it's like, oh, you got a lot of girls. Even though that should be the definition of it, it was kind of like, because pimping is kind of a little more looked down upon in certain neighborhoods. So you want to be a player more than the pimp.
Yes. Yes. So, a player does it for pleasure. A pimp is exploiting women.
There you go. So quote unquote David Blake, you know what I'm saying? He the only nigga talking about getting it off like I'm wearing a velour suit with my gold chain, my shit unbuttoned. I'm in the NSX. I'm doing donuts. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm in Compton. I'm getting money just like everybody else. And then he really is a musical genius on the sound side. You know what I mean? Like, he cool with Warren G's. And Dr. Dre bringing him in, like, hey, what you think about this? Him and G1 coming to actually mix privately? It's kind of like how Teddy Riley would do Pharrell and Chad.
Right.
And then you're like, oh, shit, Quick actually worked on this? So then he's flipping what I was telling Jer before y'all came on. What's the shit that... That what's that shit? The rock shit.
Oh, I thought that was Game.
So he flipped that into Let's Get Down for Tony Chong. You know what I'm saying? Come on, let's get down, let's get down, let's get down. Come on, let's get down in my black Chevrolet. Like,
I'm so happy Trey is doing this because a lot of people don't really know about Quick's influence, prominence, you know what I'm saying? Like, just the people that came under and after him, whether it be the Snoops and everybody after, it's like he's part of that legacy before them. And he had hits, you know, throughout the decades.
He's still doing it. His son is rapping now. It's to a point where he's produced on All Eyes on Me. He's produced on everything that we possibly have enjoyed West Coast musically wise. And in the scenario, I look at it as he's a nigga that brought us Peter Guns. He's a nigga that brought us fucking produced for Shaq on some of the shit that we really liked. You know what I'm saying? When Twism was a thing, he's the only.
The world is mine.
He's the only nigga really fucking with them at that particular time. He's a nigga that dig El DeBarge out the grave and throw him on shit. Like, save your life, bro, before Kanye got credit for it. And
shout out to El DeBarge too, bro. That was when light skinned niggas was we was rather prominent during the El DeBarge era, my brothers.
Hey man, and then again, saved Corrupt's career, and did a joint album with him. So the thing is that he really enjoys. He's a student of the music. I'm surprised that, you know, obviously Hov is a fan of music. Put him on Black Album because that's rare to be like, out of all the producers. I got to give me a Quick one. Now, Quick could have gave him some shit, but like, I can't possibly think.
That wasn't one of my favorite songs on that
Justify
album.
My Thug was a strange mix in that album. That's Hov's fault. I bet you he had some other fire.
It was probably the transitions in it and how the placement of the album, but I can't picture Hov on some like really jazzy, smooth shit versus Show Me What You Got.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, because that's what Quick would have gave him, some shit like that. You know what I'm saying? And I'm sure Hov was like, yo, I need some heavy beat. Because, you know, when the bubble in trouble, like that, I'm sure he asked for that heavy West Coast bass type shit. And it was like, what you think about this? And I could see Jay-Z over here like, Quick question.
Reverse head bop with the reverse, you know how he bop his head backward rather than forward.
he's that nigga, but you know,
was Quick on the documentary? I don't remember him showing Quick.
He's not on there. But from where I'm from, man, like he is, and he has one of the nastiest discs too to MC8, basically killed my man career. it was very disrespectful. Nigga said, you spell your name 8 without the G because the G ain't in you. Like, he was going so hard, and like that was really a kind of scary time in Compton because MC8 was from like Trag New and Quick is from Treetop where YG is from. So, you know, the Blood Crip thing was just really intense, dog. But, you know, don't make dollars, don't make sense, just like Compton. I just want to give David Blake his flowers, 30 years in the game doing his
salute.
Thing.
You know that was beautiful.
Shout out to you too, bro. Cause you be having me remember, I be misremembering a lot of things, and I don't give Quick enough flowers. I really don't.
I think if he did a versus and he actually showed his catalog, just how like niggas with RZA and Primo did, and niggas be like, oh, he actually touched that. Like, he gave us Troop Hurts, even though Troop Hurts kind of fucked up her own little shit situation.
Oh, shit.
Yep. I'm dying, dying, dying. Yo, that I love that song, and it is not available anywhere. They must have fucked up big time on the sample.
Yep.
It's not on streaming. The sample must have been radioactive.
Man, he gave us Sugar Free. We wouldn't have Sugar Free without Quick. We wouldn't have Mossberg, rest in peace. You know what I'm saying? He got a chance, man. Like again, he took a chance on a lot of people, man, just trying to see his vision. But he lost a lot of people, too, in the process. That was the thing. They blamed the whole Biggie shit on DJ Quick.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Wait, who blamed it on him? What do you
I thought mean? It was E-40.
I remember. Because he went to the party.
Right.
And every time that DJ Quick would go to a party, it was quote-unquote gang violence.
Because
he's the only... Because before Snoop was calm. Like, you got to think about this. Snoop was known as a Crip, but he was more universal artist than Quick. You see Quick coming to shit, it was like Bloods Only. And if something got shot up, he got dragged and everything. So when he put out Use a Gangster, no, I'm not. He had to say it. He said, somebody got choked out at my party. Nigga died. It wasn't, and the motherfuckers blamed it on me. What the hell? He said, how can I choke somebody out? I'm only 155 pounds.
So, Trey, you know what's funny? I watched a Big Doc once, like a few years ago, and somebody from, I forget who it was, from Big's crew was like, you know, we went outside, and the first thing he saw, he said DJ Quick was on his phone, on his cell phone. He's like, yo, they got that nigga. Not like I got him or I wanted this to happen, but I knew they had problems with him, with them, and the shit just happened. Like, he was on his phone. It was like, yo, they got this nigga.
Yeah, it was more so on some shit like...
Not even it's like, it's just...
Fucked
it was
up.
Yeah, it is what it like. Not like, oh, good for him. It's just like, we knew it was bound to happen. They got this nigga. It's crazy. Yeah.
Shout out to The Wood. I just remember when Trey was saying, like, anytime Quick was somewhere, it was a bunch of Bloods there. Everybody in The Wood were talking about, let's go to that corner store. Nah, nigga, that's Blood Central over there.
I mean, that's how it normally is. But again, he was one of the first people that anytime something really went, like if he was at a vibe party, if he was here or he was there, they blame it on Quick because he was an openly Blood. He opened the doors for Game and whoever you
that's
ever
so
could
ill.
Possibly
like, I never... For me, obviously, as an East Coast idiot, I just assumed Snoop was the first person cripping and banging on wax and in videos. And like that was my first experience with it. I didn't realize that DJ Quick opened the floodgates.
Like
Easy wasn't a Crip.
I don't want to say that on wax.
My bad.
I but he did live in Kelly Park. I ain't gonna put him out there, but I ain't gonna associate him with that. I ain't gonna try to taint his legacy.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, we're not gonna denigrate the legacy of the legend, but he wasn't a Crip.
Yeah, Trey moved to New York all of a sudden.
Not gonna put his business on the streets, but he wasn't.
All I'm saying is, in '91, my man was wearing a Philly hat for a reason and dressed up in red. That's all.
I never saw that shit. Cause like
all his photo shoots. He's wearing a P hat. You know what I'm saying? So when you come to LA, you gonna think the Pirates, like the Phillies. You like the Phillies? Oh, it's love. It's
I remember
good. And
Trey
it's like,
breaking
hey,
down the different affiliations with every hat.
Yo,
like
that's some real West Coast shit. Y'all niggas took the joy out of wearing jerseys.
The hat.
Niggas are talking about you wearing a Cowboys jersey. That's because Crips always win, like Bloods, Bulls is Bloods under law. So I'm like, come on, man.
Son, kid I appreciate
is it
right
worse
now
than Chicago?
On Instagram. It's up there with it because you know,
yeah,
Chicago
but Chicago's
has
doesn't do the clothes shit. It's not
just how
based
you
rock on the hat. Yeah. It's the hat. Literally, a hat means that you are part of a certain gang, and it's crazy because like there's this store that I'm pretty sure is still there, which I'm sure Amin knows about, called Four Seasons on the Coliseum block in Jamaica, Queens. And like, that's where you went. They would have fucking hats in every colorway from every major sport. Like, and it was a thing like, oh shit, I just got this purple, you know, whatever.
I need a purple D-back hat. That D-back purple hat to go with it, yeah.
Bruh, the hat, buying hats was like a, you know what I mean? It was like a ritual almost. So when Trey explained to me, he's like, nigga, you can't wear every hat around here, son. It's, yeah. It gets stupid about it. I was like, wow, that's just, you know, it's crazy.
I really love that kid, Xavier TV on Instagram, how he drops, he does the TikToks of press ratios. And it tells you what school you went to from elementary. Like, you already have a choice. Like, oh, she went there. Okay, don't mess with her. She probably got some cousins that's from over there. If you wear this hat, because he did a hat one. And he was saying, like, okay, and I'll tell you, if you wear a Yankee hat, you're a Crip. If you wear a Philly hat, you're Blood. If you wear a Kansas City Royal hat, you're a Crip. If you wear a Colorado Rockies hat, you're a Crip. Like, you can, St. Louis Cardinals, you're Blood. If you wear a Washington Nationals hat, you're Blood. Like, Dodger hat might be the only safe hat.
Is Dodgers safe? Is it safe? Like,
because it don't mean nothing. It's just LA.
Okay, I would have really just thought the blue.
I would have thought the blue. I mean, no, that would have been my thought. Because the blue is, because
it's a real team, though. No, but like, it's like, it's a real team in the city. You can root for the team that's in the city.
Yeah,
feel you.
So I
feel
Texas, you Texas Rangers is a hood. Houston Astros is a hood. Seattle Mariners is 60s. You know what I'm saying? Houston Astros is Hoovers. Like, you really don't want to wear. They beat
these,
like,
niggas. These niggas done stole the joy out of everything.
Sad. I knew it was ridiculous when I seen Game with a red Dodgers jersey. I was like, yo, this is not an alternate.
The thing I love about New York is y'all have all type of flavors of hats. And that's an LA nigga's dream. To come back with your hood hat in a specific color that they, because they don't sell that in LA for a reason.
Right.
Because
y'all never got like the red Yankee hat, the green Yankee hat.
The pink We just now got that. That's really a problem.
Son, it was ridiculous. Was like, the colorways they were coming with for hats were ridiculous.
Royal blue one with the silver New York logo on it, man. We used to do it all the time. Like, so it was like, it was literally
Raiders hat that was pink and green. It's like, yo, bruh, the Raiders, this has no affiliation with anything Raiders for real, like that colorway, but it's just, they would flip every single colorway.
Yo, Cap City and Jersey, that was the first hat place that I like, was like, yo, I found a green and red Fresno State Bulldogs hat. And I was like, I gotta have it. How much? 30 cash. And I came out here in 2008 and I just was buying every hat. So when I came back, I was the man. Like, you know what I mean? Like, because it reminded me of Fab. I was wearing size 7, 3, 8, 5, 8. So you're just like trying to match
this Fab.
We bring up Fab a lot on this pod, but he did have us looking foolish in the early 2000s.
Absolutely.
We were looking like bozos, but we thought we were the shit.
Fab's the reason that the jersey game got messed up. The reason that all of a sudden niggas was rocking high school jerseys. And it's like, y'all don't even know
the fucking jersey had on. The sneaker nerds be frying this dude on the internet now for when he was rocking the variants, the fake Jordans back in the days. He gets fried for that.
Yo, at the time, he was a king, though. I was like, oh, how'd he get those?
But it ain't just him. Like, not even on celebrity. Like, I remember that specifically. I had this homie. I ain't even going to put him out there. This is right.
Mark, what my hell?
No. College, right? Like, when niggas, what's it? eBay? When eBay first
East Bay or eBay?
eBay.
Okay.
eBay. Now, East Bay's the catalog, right?
Yeah.
All right, eBay. And you can go on, and my man was like, yo, if you go in there and you type in Jordan, it wasn't DS, it was some other abbreviation afterwards. All these Jordans came up that you never saw.
My man had a pair.
So nicekicks.com. I think it was Royal Blue. Before Nice Kicks became Nice Kicks, was the Nice Kicks and Cool Kicks were the variant sites where you could get fake shoes.
Yep. I remember my son had a pair of Royal Blue Jordan 11 highs.
No.
I ordered some back when scamming was in. Credit card profiles and
statute of limitations is up, feds.
And I got the white and blue 11s high top, but when they came, because I'm 11 and a half, 12, they were like a 10, nigga.
You still rock shits.
And I rocked them shits, but my foot was like this.
Oh my
like
God. Just
balled up like a fist. So I'm in class. I'm in class. My left foot is cool. My right foot is in hell. Like I'm pressed up. I'm taking the shoe off and I got the shoe to the side, resting my foot. Then when I got to walk, bro, I'm walking like, and it was so crazy because I really wanted to be fab when I like was 17, 18. So I wore like size 60, New Jersey Nets, Jason Kidd, authentic, you know what I mean? With the Argyle on the side,
yes, sir.
Navy blue. And I'm like, then I got the white and red. I had a Marcus Camby, Rainbow Skyline, size 60, swing man. And I had the white and red 18s like 5 months before they came out. Fake as hell. Busting them down. Oh, bro. I'm at Magic Mountain, like, stunning. Like,
you can't talk to me.
And people were like, oh my God, when they'll come out? I'm like, soon. But I knew they was coming out, but it looked like I had them crazy early.
I love it. What's the craziest the Gucci, jersey y'all had?
The Gucci print on the Forces. When Jada did it, I said,
No, absolutely. That's the Gucci print, the Burberry print, the like all of those, man.
Yeah.
It was out of control.
Craziest jersey.
Craziest jersey.
I think my favorite, I had a Bill Walton joint for the Blazers.
The Rip City one? Those was clean though. That was a clean one.
That was my favorite one.
What's the craziest? Okay.
Everybody had that bullet joint.
Crazy.
By the way.
Like crazy. Like, literally, like,
I feel like that was the most popular one.
Hold on.
Crazy bullet shit.
But Derv, do you mean crazy like, yo, that's my...
Like dope?
Or, dope or crazy like niggas looking back? Like, what were you doing?
Like, crazy in the sense it was like, yo, you had no business rocking that jersey.
Okay.
Like that... Yeah,
I'm going to tell you what.
They didn't even wear that shit.
Oh my God. The Houston Oilers joint. So fucking ugly. Yeah. And it's like... Oh, man, yeah. And you're wearing it all big and it's powder blue and God.
Did you do wristbands with it, Waz? The wristband?
Yeah, for sure. Headband, too. Everything.
Headband.
Everything.
Trey, what was yours?
Man, so Kev will always tell y'all the story about Team Cash. I had every Mitchell and Ness jersey potentially out at that particular time that they were rolling out. And I would let my teammates hoop in them. And Kev coached the team at this park. And I don't think I had any really nasty jerseys, but I had like San Antonio, George Gervin. I had Bob McAdoo, Buffalo Braves. Like, I'm telling you, I wanted to be fab, bro. So I was getting everything. I had Dominique Wilkins. And when Hove killed us off and said, oh, yeah, we don't wear jerseys no more. I was sick to my stomach because that's like over
the whole closet.
That's like $3,000 of worth of jerseys that I got rid of.
The whole closet was jerseys.
So I even had the UNK jeans with them too, with the NBA patches all over.
Oh, you had the patches? Yeah, God, no. No, not the patches.
Derb, what was yours?
So in the crazy in the sense that I'm speaking, like it probably was even like a Fugazi jersey, right? Like I had when the Eagles played. They had like these anniversary joints from like 1930 or something like that. They were ugly as hell. They were blue and yellow. And all the players that played in them had them. And my man was selling them outside of the trunk, outside of a Pathmark that I was at. And he had a Reggie White one rest in peace, right? But by all accounts, it's fake, right? Like Reggie White ain't playing that game. But you couldn't tell me anything. I didn't care. I had some sneaks that matched it. I had like a hat to go with it. And you know, at that time, everybody was getting it off, right? Like, you know, it was how wild.
We had a fake jersey spot in New York too. I think it was on like 23rd Street, if I'm not mistaken. I forget where it was, but you was getting the white tees for discount from that spot. So it was like a one stop shop. Like, you got the white tees that you rocked under the jerseys when you didn't just feel like making the white tee your dress shirt anyway. Yep. And you got the fake jersey at the same spot. I'm pretty sure it was some African homies running that joint, man. It was, the game was so nasty back then.
So my shit, I'm torn between two, and I actually have them right here because, you know, I record at my old house now and all this stuff is in boxes and it's right here. So this one isn't a fake, but I used to rock this shit. I thought I was that nigga. This is a New York Rangers hockey jersey. Oh, wow. God. It's a special edition with a sweater. The Statue of Liberty. Yeah. Yo, you used to rock this shit with a do-rag, with a red do-rag. The bright red do-rag. You couldn't, and the white headband. You couldn't tell me shit. Oh, I was out here like I thought going to parties like that. Not like, oh, going to the moment. Like,
no. I'm dressed to the nines right now. I might as well have a tuxedo on.
As far as the fake goes, and this one is just special. This is
Barry Sanders National.
This is a, Lord. Let me see what size Ron this Artest. Is.
Is that Ron?
Ron Artest St. John's.
St. John's, wow. Man. Wow.
Like size 60 or something. Like that. It's humongous.
Does it say Artest on the back?
No, it doesn't even say Artest on the back. It's the worst part.
Oh, my God.
Hey, you're like this. I had a Rock on Bell jersey.
Yo, hold on, Oh, my
God. So.
Well, I don't even think this is a St. John's jersey. I think it's the generic blank Jordan. It's an actual Jordan white jersey. But, like, when you see the St. John's, I'm going to hold it up to the camera for those who are going to watch this on YouTube. It's screen printed. You can tell because there's the trademark is right there. There's
a trademark on it. That's crazy that you're even wearing that.
Lord have mercy.
I would have been ragging on you like homie from Paper Soldiers with the Supreme 33. Remember? My man said, that's not even the real Patrick Ewing. Who the fuck is Supreme 33?
Oh, man. All right. Let's move on, man. Let's talk about this.
Tiger Woods, y'all.
Oh, my Tiger God. First of all,
that was an emotional roller coaster for me. I'm not going to lie.
Let me say this. First of all, Rob, the name of today's episode, you don't have to have this part in it, but name of today's episode is Are You a Fan of Ooh Baby, I Like It Raw? Or there's Ooh Baby, I Like It Raw. That's called that Ooh was, Baby, I Like It Raw.
I Like It Raw.
That was disrespect. I heard from his voice it was a black dude. I was like,
of course. No, here's why. Because Waz, this is how he started. God damn. Is this the reason why Tiger left his wife? Are you a fan of Ooh Baby, I Like It Raw?
Yo, son. Yo, when I heard goddamn, I thought somebody was in my house. I was like, yo, is somebody watching this shit with me? Then I was like, oh, that's a part of the episode.
It was so late. Rachel, what's your relationship with Tiger? Rachel. And then all of a sudden you're, God damn.
Hey, man, before the block even got hot, bro, let's talk about my man sliding, taking his wifey to Perkins. I done been to quite a few Perkins playing college basketball in Iowa, bro, and it's really not the spot to be.
No, it's a real question. How the fuck does Tiger Woods walk into a goddamn Perkins?
But it's probably because it's his neighborhood spot. So, like, once you start going there so many.
Perkins, by the way.
But I'm just saying, Tiger Woods. It's not us.
He probably gets respect and privacy, and they probably take care of him. That's probably the reason. It's like, he probably got a relationship with them. He got to be getting some type of special treatment.
Well, I mean, he definitely got special treatment from Mindy Lawton. And Mindy Lawton was very mid, by the way.
Mid?
I was hot. She was mid.
Trey, you are the nicest human being I've ever met in my life.
She wasn't even mid. I don't even know if you could say she was Reggie Bush. She was swag.
My man.
She was swag.
Hey, how did Jamie do on Ray?
Swag. But hold on, can we slow down before we get to the lady that was his waitress at Perkins? And yo, there's so much crazy shit. Like, National Enquirer preserving the used tampon for their records.
Why? Wait, hold on.
Like, okay. Why is that even happening?
Exactly.
Flag on the
plane was closing on the church parking lot, bro.
Yeah, nah, Tiger was running red lights.
A challenge flag on the play.
Oh, God. I was like, yo, there's just so much flagrant stuff happening. Like, the fact that Tiger's running the red light, the fact that this lady decided to discard her tampon, just throw it out the window, throw it in the trash, not like, just throw it out the window.
In a church parking lot.
But did they keep him safe? And I mean this respectfully. I don't mean any disrespect, but We should they toss the tampon, but did they keep the rubber? Or like, was it
what
just
rubber? No, why? Why
what would rubber, I use rubber?
Oh, he's running red lights with the tampon.
Oh, yes.
Man, yes.
She can't call me when it's gangster.
She's pregnant. Joint. So let's listen, rewind.
He having a gangster party in the Escalade.
You know, it was the first thing that got me tight when I was watching this.
Drip out pink.
When they try to throw my son Chuck and Mike under the bus, like, oh Mike yo, and Chuck
nasty,
showed
that was some nasty Vegas.
I was y'all ain't have to do that. Why Mike a married man, Chuck a married man? Don't do that. Don't throw my sons under the bus like that.
But those past marriages though, brother. Like, yeah. You know what I'm saying? And let's not be shocked. We all knew it. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, we all knew it.
I'm like how they try to say Mike and Chuck put him in the life. Like, son wouldn't have ever been to Las Vegas without them.
What do I say to these women? Tell them you fucking Tiger Woods. That's a true story that I've heard, by the way, before this
shout
documentary.
Shout out to Michael Jordan getting that off, though. Like,
just the realest, like, you don't have to say nothing. You don't have
I'm
to
not
say
gonna lie,
nothing.
Though. I had a similar situation like that, bro. Well, Rob, make sure you crack the name. My man had just won a national championship. And he came to LA for the first time. And he like, yo, shorty is nice. What's good with her? I said, nigga, do you know who you are?
Yeah.
Just say who you are.
Hey, Trey, I see you and I raise you. I'm going to say these three names. Quack all these names, please. At the first summer league, they came to the Cole show. Cole did a show in Vegas. And they were
I was at that show.
Yeah, they were like acting like, well, what do we? I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Go out there, you tell these hoes, man.
Period.
Shyness, period. Man.
So I now have even more beef with Amin and Waz because John Gervais was also in Vegas during Summer League at that time, and I believe I hung out with Amin during this time. We might even have gone to a party or two, but this. Is the first time I hear of a J. Cole concert.
Hey, Jerv.
Hold on. I'm thinking about two.
Oh, all right. Nah. It's a little bit late. It's a little bit
it was
later.
2000.
Keep quacking the names.
Hey,
a bunch of them was at the Cole show.
Jerv is one of those niggas that be like, yo, no invite. Like, yeah, bro, yeah, you came yeah, plus one everything, big dog. I love man. You.
Nigga, I got you. And by the way, you hear the gratitude there? I remember going to a couple of parties. Nigga, like, it's Vegas.
I got you right in Vegas, boy. Don't play.
Oh, man.
So yeah, they threw Mike and Chuck under the bus for no reason. I can imagine Chuck or Mike watching the shit at the crib with their lady and that part come up and it's like, I don't know. That shit just made me feel away.
That was a long time ago.
It was.
No, that's a long time ago. When I was young, I was dumb, but then I found you, baby.
Right.
Now, Mike, let's all be real. Mike turned to her and said, "Michael fucking Jordan, what you about to do?" Like, I'm not apologizing.
When they said Tiger was smashing the Perkins shorty at his crib in his wife's bed,
rookie mistake.
I said, "Yo, Tiger is different. He was different."
Yo, let me tell you something. First of all. The shit where they just had their first baby and they take a picture and the baby is fresh. You could tell this baby just came out the uterus right now, right? It's fresh. And the dog's all up in the picture. I was like, ew. Yeah.
Tiger's
what is
a different
wrong
type of
with
meat,
y'all, though, man? Oh, I was just disgusted by that.
He was really killer too. He had her media trained, bro. Like everything National Enquirer is a lie. And like, yeah. I'm going to tell you early on. And then had the sidey call
That's-
wifey.
That was a dumb move. That's a dumb move. I was like, nope. That's you do not get the side chick on the phone with the wife. That's never gonna happen. That's never gonna work out for you. Also, the side chick, she said, after I've been with Tiger, how can I be with a mere mortal again? Like, that is the hoest thing I've ever said. Cause you know what? All of these women said, Tiger Woods was great. All these women are great. All these women said Tiger is such a nice guy, and he made me feel like he really cared about me. Not one of the women said, that nigga broke my back. No, I'm sorry.
Bossing over me.
Okay. And
all right. Go.
Hey,
black. Yeah, no, I mean, look, man, like I'm with you on that. Like, it definitely should give you a level of confidence moving forward. But like the idea of like the ways, I mean, like, again, like, come on, man, that nigga's a cornball. I don't know, man.
It's no way to defend none of that shit. And then like he had all whack work. Yes, so, my man had a sexual addiction.
Oh, by the way, old girl, her eyes were so close to one another. I was like, what in the world is going on? Like, I thought it was one of those things that last time y'all told me, yeah, that's how she looked now, but back then she was hot. But then I saw like the pictures of her back then. I'm like, nah.
She was never crazy.
Shout out to my man, DL Hughley. He said, I don't need marriage counseling. He need diversity training. That was tough.
But yeah, another thing, a blast from the past. Rest in peace, the Griffin in New York. I remember, very early in my club rat days, I used to go to the Griffin club every now and again. Yeah, that's the club that she worked, that the Yucatel chick worked at, which she met.
So was that like the white version of Cheetahs or whatever? Because I know it was Cheetahs.
Would you consider it like One Oak? Yeah, exactly. It was One Oak. They played rap and all of that, but you know, they try to have the elite
blacks,
shorties,
blacks, and blacks
that were there.
But you know what, Waz? That him being by himself, especially in a One Oak mindset of him drinking by himself, definitely fitting, because you still got to be player in those situations 100%. When you at the Oak, because it's other money in there.
Of course.
Yep,
it's
You're not going up against Waz and Jerv and Amin. You're going up as a black tray in that situation. That's a different tax bracket.
You stupid, yeah, you son. What type of sociopath though? Just goes to the club completely dopey. That's crazy to me.
Can I say right now, the part where they said, The sex addict needs sex to stop the pain. And I was like, I said it when it happened and I say it today. All the stuff they're talking about, sex is the only thing that covers up for, you know, gets you away, gets your mind. I'm like, isn't that for everybody? I'm sorry, when I'm having a bad day and I start having sex, I kind of forget about my bad day.
Right.
Until I nut. Thanks. And then I'm like, oh my God, my day's terrible. And now I just wasted 25 minutes doing this.
the psychoanalyzing is, you know, obviously armchair psychiatrists, it's always a fool's errand, right? Like, them niggas, they don't know what Tiger really felt or why exactly it is he was doing what he was doing. But someone's just right. He was out of pocket, man. Like, straight up and down. Having the Perkins chick at your crib, it's crazy. First of all, you should have had an Airbnb cheat. You know what I'm saying? Like, you should have had the side apartment.
But he wasn't that clever, though. He wasn't that clever to move.
Clearly. He's living in Florida. To just get a cheap-ass condo for where you could...
he wasn't that type of savvy because, listen, the shorty from Griffin, he would lay up at... watch cartoons and eat cereal and be cozy and tell his bitch all his feelings. And you looking in a scenario of like, look at all the work or all the chicks that he basically dealt with, his wife didn't get him. And he ain't know how to, that's why he had multiple girlfriends in this scenario, because he didn't know how to be player about it. Nobody schooled him on how to just kind of maneuver in this way. He just kind of stroked his power and felt like he was untouchable. But you basically, you JFK, nigga. You top down.
Yeah. I mean, when your pop is slaying the sides in front of her in the trailer at the golf course that you at, you kind of ain't really being put onto the game with how you're supposed to move.
But that's killer though. His pops at least was away. Like, he had the mobile joint, the mobile bus down.
Camper.
Joint. Like,
that nigga had a camper. It wasn't even a trailer. You give him too much.
It was
credit.
Bang bus before bang bus.
Exactly. Shout out to Bang Bros.
But yeah, I love the way they set that up, though, in the beginning of the doc, right? In part one, where they like, Tiger sort of distanced himself from his pops because he knew his pops was messy and doing all of that. And we knew what was coming in the second part. And it's like, wow, that's mad ironic that like, oh, you cut your dad off for being that way. And then you turned into an even worse savage and killed yourself.
Are y'all surprised? There are two things that were not mentioned in the doc that really surprised me. One was they didn't have the voicemail of, hey, it's Tiger, which again, which is
yeah,
the
biggest that.
Rookie, the biggest rookie move that. Of all time.
I needed the, that voicemail.
The other thing that shocked me was they didn't have the Fuzzy Zeller shit. Like in part one.
Wasn't that the one where the fried chicken and all that shit?
Yeah. And even when they brought it up later, when the president of Augusta did the whole like public lashing
that
or whatever,
was corny. You
know? That was corny.
Public whipping.
But I thought like at that moment they would bring up the Fuzzy Zeller shit that happened at Augusta also, but they never mentioned it. I'm like, oh, them shits was big, man. I'm kind of surprised they didn't even.
Fuzzy Zeller was super big. They didn't bring up the Esquire article where. Basically, Charles Pierce is in the doc, but they don't talk about his article, where he was supposed to do a profile of Tiger Woods, and Tiger Woods basically blew him off. So he just did a story about the person he was observing. And he was just like, yeah, the kid's a party animal. He's getting all kinds of pussy. He's living his life. He's being a young whatever. And it turned into a whole thing. But it's like, Charlie Pierce is like, bro, he's a millionaire. He's in his early 20s. What else? Right. The fuck else would he be doing? He's not a messiah.
That's what the family friend said, right? Like when he came out with the apology press conference, which by the way was 2.5 months. I thought that shit happened like a week later. This nigga took 2.5 months to do this press conference to apologize. Like, why you gotta apologize? If you ain't gotta apologize to nobody, man, you can suck my dick. You know, like that. That's what I would have said. I would have just been like, yo, fuck you. I fuck whoever I want. This is a problem between me and my wife. If you want to leave me, okay, that's my problem. That's between me and my family. I don't know shit to Buick. You think Michael Jordan ever have to apologize for smashing broad? Oh, hell no, nah, man.
Can you explain to me? I've never been married before. Shout out to the married homies and shout out to the divorce homies. But adultery, why is it so adultery? There you go. Why is it such a big stain in celebrity scope?
I would say this.
It's not.
Yeah, it's not.
It's just Tiger was faking the funk.
Yeah.
He was selling cats this cookie cutter image.
So, Waz, let me ask you this.
So, for example, if Steph cheated.
Hold on. Yeah. Okay, so there you go.
That'll be a problem.
Wait right there.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So the two biggest adultery scandals, what are they? Can you think of them?
Tiger Woods.
One. And what's the other? It's real easy. Real easy.
Bill Clinton.
Okay, three. My bad.
What about Magic Johnson?
Nope. Wasn't a scandal. The adultery wasn't a scandal.
Right. It's the AIDS part took over.
AIDS was a scandal.
Scandal part.
The I can't believe you guys can't remember the other one. Here's a hint. We're going to be talking about him a lot in a week.
Tom Brady?
Kobe Bryant.
Oh, Kobe.
Oh,
my Lord.
Forgot about that.
Tom Brady didn't do adultery. He just left his pregnant wife for Giselle. My bad.
But we don't talk about it. Why don't we talk about it? You know why we don't talk about it?
We don't. Yeah.
Because that nigga never, like, pretended to be.
Nah, he never
pretended. Hi, guys. I'm wholesome. Right? Nah, I sell Nutella and Buicks. Like,
never.
Kobe and Tiger was out here being what? The safe black man.
Facts.
The safe black man. And so for them to make the mistake that clearly is always a risk when you're dealing at that level of fame and fortune, right? It should have been like Michael cheated on his wife. Patrick Ewing was part of a Gold Club fucking FBI investigation. All these guys out here have had their affairs, have broken up, some have given half or whatever. And we're not here to judge that. But if you go out here and decide my image is going to be Mr. Wholesome, which as a black public figure, that takes on different levels, right? Because they're putting a different kind of pressure on you to be perfect, right? Then you're in trouble.
I mean, one of the quotes that they said that stuck out was be careful of the image you create for yourself.
Yep. Well, that was simple. From the douchebag. I hate that douchebag. I want to punch that nigga in the face.
But I'm just
which dude are you talking about?
The, the bow tie guy with the round glasses.
Oh God, the National Enquirer, I wanted to break those glasses. He was so disrespectful. He was like, and America enjoyed it. He was so proud of himself. Yeah.
So happy
being a snitch.
Can we touch on that though? Because I think we kind of glossed over that last week. And shout out to what's the homie's name that was his pop's homie that was like the only person that the only person that wasn't snitching. The only one was just like, nah, we not touching on that. There was so many people just snitching and ratting in this entire documentary. It was crazy to me. And they all started off with my man from the first one was the best one. Oh, shit. Oh, man, he'll probably kill me if he knew I was talking about this. Then don't say it. Like,
That motherfucker was wrong. But I'm going to tell you this, man. You fuck over a girl, man. Like fuck her over where her life is now fucked up because of you. Yeah, man, you're going to have to expect some of that shit. The caddy... He fucked over the caddy.
That was fucked up.
He ain't have to.
I mean, but he also gave that caddy he also changed that caddy's life too, right?
Sure, but Jerv,
okay, that doesn't give you a right to be an asshole.
Yeah, the line that the caddy said that I really respected, he said, I was okay with him firing me as his caddy. I didn't realize he was gonna fire me as a friend too. Come on, man.
Ain't no friends in this.
Yeah, he was.
All right, so friends. I'm gonna snitch my ass off for you, nigga. Like what?
Yo,
I
wouldn't be famous. You know what else? Sorry. Go ahead, Trey.
No, I was just saying, like, you know, he was in his wedding, and the fact that
best man in cat, your wedding, boy,
a cat like that to be like that, kind of switching off and on switch, to be like, all right, yeah, you can go caddy for homie, and then be like, nah, you can't.
Hate those type of cats.
But you also got to know your audience, my G. You got to know your audience. It's like me, right? Like, AI's my... You got to know your audience. Like,
was that a test, though? You felt like?
No, it's not a test.
Tiger got in his feelings. He's like, fuck that.
You should know Tiger is going to snap. You've been around Main Man for 13, whatever, some change years. You know damn well you can't ask. That's like me being a fan of AI and have an opportunity to meet Boy and have a conversation. At that moment, I decide, okay, am I going to risk it all and have this conversation? Because I've heard the stories. I know how this can go left. Main Man's probably heard plenty of stories about how Tiger's going left on people. He knew the risk he was taking by asking.
I don't know. But my thing is he did it respectfully. You know what I think? I think somebody in his camp said, you gonna let that nigga do that? That's how it always goes.
He gonna give up all your secrets.
Yeah, whenever niggas change their mind like that, it's not because they did some thinking on their own. It's because somebody said, you will let that nigga do that? And then that's it. They put seeds in their head.
Would y'all have done it? If Tiger hit y'all with the ultimate? Your buddy. Son,
as a man, dude felt like he had to do it, right? Like, it's like, bro, this is my homie.
That's like,
you're not working. Thing. You're not working right now. Yeah. This is my friend asking me to do something for him. I'm going to do what I do for my people, bro. Like,
it's one tournament, okay, man. Come on. It's one tournament. And by the way,
hold on. I need to... Me doing a pod. Yeah. And Jerv says, yo, can you come on my pod?
Right.
And it means like, yeah, Trey, you can do it. And I go do it for Jerv. And nigga like, nah, nigga, you fired.
It's crazy.
Jerv, what the fuck?
Hold on. You fired? You fired? And don't talk to me again. Good. And don't never talk to me again.
And
think about that.
Never talk to me again. Come on, Jerv.
Come on, man.
That don't make no sense.
So I want to talk to y'all about a character that's gotten on my nerves a little bit, and that's the first girlfriend.
Of course, man.
She has she got the big rock on her hand, so she's now married to a dude, and she's up here on a documentary proclaiming her love and devotion for Tiger Woods, and like, she's still tight about it. And I'm like, yo, your man is cool with this.
Yeah, I mean, no, she lost out on the Billy, bro.
She's still tight about that. What, shit. Listen, he okay with it because that bag about to come after whatever they did for that interview.
Nah, man. They don't pay for documentaries, man.
Son, she was doing a lot.
She ain't getting no bread for no appearance.
She got nothing, bro.
She'll write a book. She can write a book.
I'm sure if she wanted to, she could do that.
I'm going
to
tell you this. Like, dinner last night was really awkward. So I'm going to say at that house, dinner was very awkward. Speaking of that, like, I just want to bring up my favorite scene out of the entire thing, other than my man saying, "God damn, is that the reason why Tiger left his wife? Are you a fan of Ooh Baby, I Like It Raw?" We need to have that clip, like I said, Rob, at the beginning of the episode. But my favorite scene was the DUI stop, where they told a nigga, "Yo, tilt your head back, say the alphabet, not in a sing-song way, you know, as you whatever, right? Do you understand instructions? Yes. Repeat the instructions back to me. Don't sing the national anthem backwards." Yeah, this nigga was so smacked when he said that shit. I was like, yes, yes. And but then his mugshot, you know what I noticed? His eyes were so white. Son. It was like he dripped Visine in them. How's that possible? My but eyes are more
bloodshot. And nigga like, Tiger was looking like One Punch Man.
But he looked like he was in another space, though. He was so high, bro. That was crazy.
He was all five of them things.
He said, "Well, I'm just headed to Orange County."
Homie fell asleep tying his shoe.
Yo, you're in Jupiter, Florida. Oh. That nigga said, oh.
Hey, yo. Could you imagine telling somebody that you about to drive to Orange County, bro, and you're in Florida?
Yo, you know what? I'm with you with Wise with his exes. Like, dude, like, yo, you want to say on this documentary that made you think that he was thinking about like coming back home and bringing up all these memories? Yo, you're married.
She's doing a lot, son.
Doing a lot.
Like, son, you doing a lot. Like, yes, you was the first person to give him, you know, a piece of pussy or whatever, and y'all had y'all little whatever, and it's great, like, respect, but, like, you doing a lot to be harboring all of this still?
So
30 years ago? Nah, son. You gotta relax, Ma. You gotta relax. Like, you gotta fall back.
Yo, last thing I want to wrap up with here is One Night in Miami. This is the Regina King movie that's on Amazon Prime. It's about the night of the Ali Liston fight. Ali Liston won, Muhammad Ali won. He was still Cassius Clay at the time. And afterwards, him, Sam Cooke, Jim Brown, and Malcolm X all met in a hotel room and just basically, quote unquote, celebrated the victory. And this movie is kind of a creative imagining of what the conversations might have been. So there's no, this isn't like a docudrama or whatever. It's
fictional.
It is fictional. So, because there's a lot of shit in there where these niggas are going at each other. I'm like, I don't remember any tension between Malcolm X and Sam Cooke, but this might be me. But
it was a long ass night. I'll say that.
Yeah, for real.
Really long. I'm sitting there like, damn, nigga. It's
like 10, 11 o'clock at night, yeah. Bro. This is a good 5-6 hours, and the sun never came up.
Niggas went to the store. Niggas then sat in there, signed autographs. Niggas then caught up, told eight
stories. Went on the roof.
I feel like Brother Malcolm should have had a little bit more security too than the two homies just sitting outside of his room. But maybe I'm just going too much into detail.
He was funking at that time too, though.
Yeah,
he wasn't really looking out for him.
Mm-hmm. There's a reason why he got shot a year later, Derp. Like.
Touche.
It wasn't because the security was super tight, right? I wrote down a couple of quotes from it that I really enjoyed. Because even though it is fictional, I still like how they went at each other. Sam Cooke telling Malcolm, "What do? You just hang around stars. Maybe your daddy ain't beat you hard enough, like, to have a talent." I was like, damn. Like, Jesus. If I were Jim Brown, I would be like, yeah, you got to go whoop his ass now. You can't let a nigga say that to you. Then Malcolm said back to him, "You're a wind-up toy in a music box. You're a monkey with an organ grinder, because all he do is make pop songs for the charts and not make a real, more substantial music." By the way, that is real, that Sam Cooke heard "Blowing in the Wind" by Bob Dylan and felt so embarrassed that a white man wrote that song. That's why he wrote "Change Is Gonna Come." That is a true story.
Wow.
But obviously, it's not because Malcolm X, like, shat on him in a hotel.
Right.
Jim Brown saying, "Do you expect the dog to give you a medal for not kicking it one day?" That, like, I was like, I know they made this movie, you know, in the last year or so. So it's obviously very relevant. But still, there's a lot of white people that need to hear that one. There's a lot of white people that need to hear that one.
Today. Today, yes, specifically.
Today specifically. And then the final quote that it was started very early in the movie when Jim Brown visited the dude from his hometown in Georgia. And the guy's like, man, you a credit to this community, to the state of Georgia. I'm proud to live in the house where Jim, or in the place where Jim Brown was born. And you're doing a great thing on the field. And we're all so proud of you. And man, you're great. And like, I'm like, oh, okay. And then he said, yo, got to move this furniture. You want me to help you? I'm like, oh, Jim, you know, we don't allow niggers in the house.
That shit
gotta
broke.
Say,
I didn't said, see that damn. One coming.
Definitely did not see that one coming.
Nah, I had no idea. Killer though. I like to highlight a couple of things too. Not specific lines, but like, you know, I really thought how it highlighted their failures first. So like Muhammad Ali getting knocked out. You know what I'm saying? Sam Cooke bombing it at the Copa. You know
that's a true story, by the way. The bombing at the Copa, by the way, as my Muhammad Ali picture falls down behind me, I have it up just for this one special episode today. But the bombing at the Copa actually happened. That's a real true story. And he sang white songs and he bombed. And then he came back like a couple of years later and he said, fuck it, I'm doing my shit. And when he did, they loved him, yeah.
Yeah. And then you got Jim Brown going to visit. You know what I'm saying? And not being able to, you know, be accepted. And then you got Malcolm X, obviously just hella paranoid and et cetera. But like you said, with that speech and all that other stuff, although it's fiction and although it's based in a specific timing, it's all relevant today. And some of those things were very motivational. I thought the dude that played Malcolm X was acted his ass off. I thought the guy that played Sam Cooke acted his ass off.
Leslie Odom. That's Leslie Odom.
Leslie Odom. I wasn't crazy about Muhammad Ali's character, but he looked like him. You know what I mean? Close in looks and stuff like that. But overall, like it, some certain things gave me chills and kind of was one of those motivational situations of kind of like what you are actually doing for your community. You know what I'm saying? Because again, Sam Cooke's like trying to get these bars off. Like, I own my masters.
Yeah.
I'm doing this, that, and the third. I'm putting on all this other shit. And he's just like, look, bro, like, but what are you doing for us? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And that's kind of like a self-reflection because you can make all the money in the world. You can forget. Like, that's the thing. I think he made the quote about coming back to the neighborhood.
Yeah.
And it was like, people do that all the time saying, oh, we're going to come back and get you. For what? When you could just be, you know what I mean? Like, why are you not trying to assist right then and there during that time? So it definitely kind of was a stinger for me personally. But I really enjoyed it. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to say it's the best fucking movie in the world, but it was probably one of the most enjoyable watches I had, like, that I checked out since we've had referred movies or TV shows to peep.
Right.
And it was better than Tenet to me. I'll say that.
Hey, so shout out to Regina King for making her directorial debut.
Yeah.
Salute to her. Well deserved.
The line from Sam Cooke, by the way, the story about the Valentinos and the Rolling Stones playing it, the same song, and it went number one on all the charts. That shit is a true story. And like, yeah, they got, it's like Dre Day only made Easy Payday is what I thought about when he was telling that story. And he said, you know, everyone's fighting for a slice of the pie. I want the goddamn recipe. That's a fucking bar right there, man. That's a bar and a half. But it is, it's like, it's crazy because they all went about it because they were all instrumental figures in the civil rights struggle. They all went about it different ways, right? And that's the thing where Malcolm, again, or this character of Malcolm, he kind of was very one-track minded. Like, there's only one way to get this, and his militancy was true and factual. I think that's a right thing. It's like, you can't fence it, but at the same time, he couldn't see the vision that Sam could see. For instance, he couldn't see the flaws in himself. How Jim Brown telling him about light skin? Why are y'all light skin brothers the most militant ones, huh?
We're not doing that today, good brother. You know what I'm saying? not on this glorious birthday. Not that we on are MLK Day. Today. No, sir. We are not doing that. We all men. We are all the same.
Any closing remarks from anybody about this? About
Happy Yams Day.
Yeah, happy Yams Day. Of course, happy MLK Day to people. Everybody. We came out and we worked on Martin's Day, which as a black person, I feel a way about, but we did it for you guys.
They're going to cancel the Super Bowl on our ass.
Wise, can I just double shout you out, brother? Because not only did you come out and work on MLK, brother, you know what I'm saying? Clearly, we can hear, you know, you're under the weather. You're not your normal self, man.
I just want to shout you out for
my flu game. This, you know what I'm saying? Tough.
I was going to say, this is flu game for sure.
Thank you. I won't lie. I just thought that was Waz on the night after.
Just waking up.
You know, yeah. On a holiday weekend, I just thought, you know, yeah, okay. So Sunday night was.
It's been a long weekend, I'll tell you that much.
All right. Well, on behalf of Sick Waz and Big Jerv and Black Trey the Millionaire, this is Amino Hassan. Shout out to Rob Lopez on the one and twos. Black Opinions Matter, motherfucker. Like, subscribe, rate, review. All the good shit. Share it. Peace out.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.